Good afternoon. Nice to be with you again. Happy end of November. Thanksgiving too.
And we've had a rash of, I don't know how to put this. I haven't seen anything in the paper, or I haven't heard any press releases from your office, but somehow, some way, over the weekend, somebody has gone around and shrank all the pants here locally. None of my pants fit. I'm not sure who. Are they breaking in? Is this what? I don't know what's going on here, but a little uncomfortable here to get the new week started.
We'll be putting out press release on that. It's like this guy shows up every year. I don't know what the heck's going on. We keep watching for him.
I know. He sneaks in.
We'll get him one year. We'll get him.
He distracts me with pie and stuffing and other great things like that, and I'm not paying attention, and all just like that, nothing fits anymore. Well, we had to put a couple layers on last Friday, and wonderful coincidence, the day you have the outdoor canopy of lights and all the great music and entertainment happening downtown and on the square, of course it had to be the coldest day of the holiday weekend. We checked in at just 34 degrees on Friday, but I tell you what, after seeing the video and the pictures of everyone on the square, it looked like everybody was warm and having a great time. What a celebration to see everybody gathered again.
It was warm. I mean, I know the temperature was chilly, but not terrible for a Thanksgiving weekend. And it was great to see thousands of people again outdoors, out and about with the band. And you know, our visitor from the North Pole showed up. We always worry about him, making sure he makes it. But we sang loud enough and long enough that he showed up. So there are a lot of excited kids and happy parents, and it was a really nice evening.
Now, how many songs did you and your family end up singing?
Well, we did three songs and one or two verses of each, accompanied with the Bloomington Band, and we even had a recording artist on stage with us.
Wow.
Which was Don Griffin's sister, who's a Bloomingtonian, but she lives in L.A., and she's got a record on the charts in U.K., and so we had some ringers up there, along with Alejandro, the conductor of the Bloomington Symphony Orchestra. So it was better than average, I think. But in any event, it was energetic, and we got Here Comes Santa Claus worked its magic again. He showed up.
Well, he has great ears. I tell my children that Santa hears everything, and when you start asking, and well, he knew he was on call that evening and made his way down to Bloomington. So that's absolutely. Would you do like a Christmas medley type deal, or
yeah, we kind of run a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer into Jingle Bells, and then into Here Comes Santa Claus, and we just rock it through.
Now you've conducted the orchestra. Now you're singing on the stage. What's next for your musical? Are you going to cut an album? That's what the people want to know.
No ballet. Let's just be clear about that. So I'm sticking to music. Anyway, it was a really nice evening, and of course we couldn't do it last year. Your colleague Jim Inman did a great job, and it was really nice for people to be back together. You know, I got to mention, of course, you know, Mike, still we're very worried about the COVID, and it was good. It was outdoors. The indoor events were much, much restricted this time because we're still worried heading into winter and seeing the numbers and watching very carefully. So it was good to be together. And it was good to be able to do it safely as we did.
Yeah, that's always the concern this time of year is everybody's – it's indoor season, not outdoor season. And we'll just be smart. We'll move along. And hopefully – let's see. How's my Greek today? Omicron?
I've seen Omicron.
I like that one.
But I'm not sure. Who knows?
But it's obviously around, we'll let the experts sort out what it means, but it doesn't change anything. If it wasn't here, you and the health professionals and everybody else would be reminding people to get vaccinated, and if they can do that, that would help. I mean, that's how this thing mutates. It finds new places to go.
Yeah, you know, we don't know how significant it is. We do know our experience with Delta showed us that these variants can throw you for a loop, and we're hopeful that this one won't be too dramatic, but I think everyone agrees that the key is to keep getting people vaccinated and protected against it, and and avoid the worst outcomes. It is still a concern because around the country, around the world, there are a lot of places with very few people vaccinated, and that helps mutations develop, and then they come home. They come back to us. So we're trying to get ready for everything.
Now, the other part of this is interesting. I was looking to get my booster, and I finally have an appointment for Thursday. I had to go all the way to Spencer. There's nothing around these here parts anytime soon. I saw the headline in the paper, and it said, we've got plenty of vaccine but not enough appointments. I was confused when I read that, because when I've gone to the hour shot and try to sign up around here, or then I went to the CVS by it's, they're not in the scheduling, and they didn't have anything.
Right.
If we want everybody to get vaccinated, don't we need a little help here?
Well, I think what you're seeing is that we tend to be a place that has a high demand relative to other parts of the state. And we got a lot of people who are early adopters and jumping in line. And I do think the reason you have to go to these other communities is there are fewer people signing up. It's a reflection that we're a county that takes it really seriously, I think. And I know, I had my booster a few weeks ago. My wife just got hers, and she ended up going up to Martinsville, to get a booster because it was available there, not available here. So,
yeah,
we hope that the testing, the vaccinations are all really important infrastructure, and they're getting better, but they're still we're in a little bubble that tends to sign up quickly.
And I agree with all of that. I would hope the people at the Indiana Department of Health see this and say, oh, well, they're busy. Why don't we send more that way? And, I don't know how that works. But did you have any feedback? I know you talked to your community hospital leaders, your local health practitioners, how the pop-up clinic went at 2805 East 10th Street. I know Marty Hawk drove over there, no appointment, was in and out in a half an hour. That's great. Is that something we're looking to add down the road, or is it based on doses?
I think a lot of people did use that. I heard from Penny Caudill, the health administrator, and that's terrific. I do know, look, through the whole pandemic, the general rule has been people getting shots in arms get more vaccine and get more shots, so they can keep putting them in arms. It's a complicated world, and try to make sure everybody's got access to some, but it is so important to keep getting this protection. And be patient. If you have to wait a week or two, that's okay. Just get in line and get ready and put it on your calendar and go get it, but we're gonna keep working. It is a challenging moment. We have a huge hospital move happening over the weekend.
Whoa,
that's planned for Sunday, and I know they're struggling with COVID patients. Just to give you a sense of the complication, when you take a COVID patient from one hospital to the next, I'm told it takes about an hour to decontaminate that vehicle fully, like they need to do. For the next patient, and so this stuff just flows through the system and makes everything more complicated. Not to mention, of course, it sends people to the hospital, and it leaves an empty table at somebody's Thanksgiving dinner next year. That's what we're really working against.
And the other it helps everyone, because we don't want people hospitalized. It doesn't mean you will not get sick. It just means you hopefully will not be hospitalized sick, and that's where the crush happens. Folks, if you're listening and you say, well, that's all great, Glass, but I still need a shot. Okay, Riley Children's Health is partnering with the Children's Museum in Indianapolis to put on a vaccine clinic on Thursday. The clinic will offer COVID-19 vaccines for children and adults, booster shots, and flu shots. All vaccinations are free and will not require museum admission to access the clinic. The clinic on Thursday will be from 4 to 8. So there you go. That's another place you can go. Again, if you don't want to wait or scour take your kid out of school. I didn't say that, but if you go to the Children's Museum all day and have a nice, or you can have your own field trip. That's exactly
there
right.
You go.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He checks in with us every Tuesday afternoon, and we get you caught up on everything that's happening here in Bloomington. Briefly, the you're still having cases at the city, just like everybody else is having cases. I think I saw the map, which will be refreshed tomorrow. We're at 1.5. Are we holding in that 120-ish range? I haven't looked at those numbers recently.
No, we're up to 180 per 100,000.
So we've almost doubled what we were 4 weeks ago.
We have doubled it, yeah. So, you know, we're still among the better counties in the state. That's been a consistent story, but we've moved the wrong direction, and we're really watching it carefully. And, of course, Omicron, this new variant, is of concern. We expect it'll be in the United States. It's probably already here, and we're going to have to see what happens with it.
And we know what's going to happen with it. It's going to spread, so protect yourself. It's a broken record, but my needle keeps skipping in the angle of good public health. Do it. Protect yourself. Protect your friends. Protect your family and protect each other. That would be great. All right, so your art garage, that's what I'm calling it, but I know we already have, we had names for these back in the days. It was like garage art, garage this, garage that. But the one on 4th Street that we just completed here at the end of August, that's taking on a whole different life of paneling that you're going to hang on there, and that's going to slow things down a little bit, but that's the price of decorating the brick building.
Yeah. I think we have to close one lane on Walnut for a little while here, but that's a replacement garage. People will remember we had a 4th Street garage there for 30 years, and then it turned out it wasn't safe and it wasn't being kept up, and we needed to tear it down and rebuild it, which is what has just completed. And I am really pleased. I think it's going to be a beautiful art project that will skin three sides of that thing, the north, east, and south facades. So you can watch for it. It should go up over the next few weeks, and we'll be dedicating that probably early next year. And in the meantime, we're dedicating the art on the Trades District Garage Friday this week. So these are all part of the 1% for art, just reminding people that in this city, for big public projects like this, we do 1% of the budget is dedicated to kind of the art and beauty and trying to make it a bonus for our community.
Now, what art is going on the Trades District Garage? Similar or different?
No, it's pretty different. It's a beautiful kind of a homage to Native American art, I think, and Middle America art of kind of one by one foot panels of sculpture. And if you look in the stairwells, there's two big stairwells. They're individualized panels. Actually, a bunch of people from the community participated with this artist who helped design it, and they're going to be lighted interestingly and a kind of a community art project. But I think it's going to look really cool. So Friday afternoon, we're dedicating that, and if people want to go by there up on 10th Street.
Very cool, and we'll get those garages all arted up, and well, they'll be busy because the holiday season, those garages are free on the weekends, correct?
Yes, they are. On holidays and weekends, they're going to be free access, as is much of the street parking, too, so trying to help people get downtown if they want to.
Excellent, and I think I led everybody, I don't know, I didn't lead them astray just yet, but the meters on Saturday, I would double-check those before just leaving your car and going. The garage is 100% free, but check the other things just in case.
I'll try to look it up while we're here. But,
yeah, I saw garages only, and I thought I told people. I know last weekend for Friday, because the city was closed, there wouldn't be any parking for the Canopy of Lights, any fee for parking with that, and
yes,
then Small Business Saturday. That was the case last weekend. I just didn't want to. Well, the guy on the radio said, yeah, I'm trying not to be that guy all the time. Mayor Hamilton is our guest. He checks in every Tuesday just after 4 o'clock. And, well, let's go back to the hospital move quickly. What is the timeline? And we don't need to get down to the days on this, but we're going to literally move the hospital stuff from the old place to the new place. Then what happens? Does this take a week? Does it take a day? Let the folks know if they're around 2nd Street at the old hospital building, there's going to be a caravan just going back and forth to the new one on the bypass.
You know, Sunday the 5th is the plan for that move. I know they're kind of in final blitz planning right now, but if you think about it, you can only run one hospital at a time at that scale. You can't run two hospitals. So it is literally turning off the lights, as the last patient is moved from the current hospital to the new hospital, you shut that hospital off, and you have all your staff and all your work and all your safety and all that stuff happening at the new hospital, and it happens in one day, and the next day they start decommissioning the old hospital. But wow. they won't be don't show up there looking for an emergency room or anything, because they're actually putting a fence around it and closing it, and you can't run two hospitals at the same time. You can only run one, so it's switching on Sunday. that process of decommissioning the hospital then will be handled by a whole crew of different people who will take out what they can use, and then it'll be deconstructed and demolished in the months ahead, and the fence around it will protect all of us from, any challenges that way. It's going to be a different feel over there, in one day. Kind of, it's going to be quite a different situation. But it's an exciting opportunity for the redevelopment of that. There's, of course, a big master plan. We've talked about that was put in development over the last year or two and finalized late last year. And we're very excited about the prospects ahead. That can be topic for another day, probably, to talk Absolutely. About all the things that we're looking at there.
Well, the other side of this coin is everybody will have to be prepared then for the new hospital on the bypass. It's a absolute giant, and we can all see it, but traffic patterns and the such will be a little bit different on the east side. Is all the infrastructure in place ready to go over there?
It is, basically. The roads are there. There may be some adjustments in the years ahead, but I'd had a tour a few weeks back, and it's a fantastic facility over there. It'd be spectacular. Hey, I got my street number here for your street parking. So on-street parking is free only from between now and the end of December. It's just free on Friday and Saturday, December 24th and 5th. So
okay.
that was good heads up. And the first and the third, the weekend of first, second, and third, the on-street parking. But the garages are free much more than that.
Yeah, the garages.
Through the whole month, garages are free.
Any garage, just not select ones. All garages on Saturdays. So take advantage of that. And then the easiest way to remember it, if it's a holiday, you can park on the street for free. That's about it. And that will be
Saturday parking in the garages, the city public garages, will be free of charge all month. So
Saturday, 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 garage, 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 Saturday, garage, Saturday, garage, Saturday, garage. If you say it three times, it has to stick. And that's what helps out as well. Mayor Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. So new hospital that shakes up this weekend. So everyone needs to be aware of that. We should be. It's been coming for a long time, and as you mentioned, we'll get into what's happening on the property on Second Street as we get into the months of 2022.
It is a good day not to try to get out on the roads, because there'll be a lot of vehicles going back and forth from those two locations, so watch out for that.
Exactly, and it's just going to be different, as you mentioned, and we've got to, that's what progress is. We're gonna change it and move forward. Last week, before we hit the Thanksgiving break, I mentioned we would discuss this week about the Plan Commission lawsuit that went not in the city's favor. The Planning Commission was ruled by, I believe it was a Greene County judge, that the placement it didn't work itself out, and now the Republicans will put Andrew Gunther on that commission. Where does the city stand on this? Will you guys appeal, you tell me?
Yeah, well, it'll work its way through the courts. We are filing an appeal. We don't think the decision was correct. But look, we got really good people on the Plan Commission. Whoever serves on the Plan Commission, they'll do a good job, I'm sure. It's a range of people who help make decisions for the city. It is important to kind of protect the prerogative of how people get appointed on there, but it'll get worked out. There was a judgment made by that judge outside of our county who determined that an older appointment was inappropriate. It essentially ruled that I cannot appoint an independent, like a nonpartisan person, to a board if the board has partisan requirements. To put another way, if this board, for example, I have five appointments and it says only no more than three can be in one political party, this judge has said, well, if that's what the law says, you can't put an independent as a fourth or fifth person on there. Say there's three Democrats or three Republicans, you cannot put an independent on there, which I think is not wise and not what the statute says, but that's that we'll appeal it. It'll get worked out, but in the meantime, the Plan Commission will continue to do its work. Some people will like the results and some people won't like the Plan Commission's work, but we'll keep plugging.
And the appeals process begins next week, next year. Is this something that's going to, I don't want to say drag on, that sounds not the word I'm looking for.
It'll take a while. We're asking for a stay of the decision, technically. We don't know whether that will happen. I think there's a Plan Commission meeting in mid-December, a couple weeks, so we'll see whether that happens between now and then. But I don't. Life will go on. The work of the city will go on, and this will get worked out in the courts over the next, I don't know, months. I hope not years. We'll see.
We shall see as it moves forward. All right. One other thing I just saw, and I wanted to get your thoughts on. This, your staff does a great job getting the media advisories out. City of Bloomington earns perfect score on Human Rights Campaign Index for the 7th consecutive year. That has to be something our community should be proud of.
It is. Thank you. There's a national group that evaluates cities kind of for their treatment of LGBTQ plus communities, both by kind of by ordinance and by practice and what. And we're very proud. Bloomington is the only city in Indiana to get a perfect score. We've done that 7 years in a row. There are a handful of other cities, two or three others, I think, that score very well, among the top 100 in the country. And I think it reflects this community. We want to be very inclusive and welcoming, and we're glad. I will say it makes me nervous every year because there's only one way we can go, and I don't want to go down. But here we go, 7 years in a row at 100%. So that's a terrific record.
Excellent. Well, great job. Great job on the Canopy of Lights as well. And, well, it was a busy program. We're always busy on Tuesdays. I always think, oh, geez, you know, what are we going to talk about? And bam, 20 minutes is gone in the drop of a hat. We appreciate your candor and your transparency and coming on this program as well. Let's do it again next month. I know that sounds funny. It's next Tuesday, but December does start tomorrow.
Mike, I'll look forward to it. It's always good to talk with you and share news with all your listeners.